Anybody? Everybody got one? Good. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it's good to see everybody here this morning in the house of the Lord. You know, I was doing this message, and boy, I tell you what, it was like another revelation of what God wants to do in our lives. And boy, I just started to weep when I was doing this because I'm thinking, Lord, we need you so much. We need you so much, especially in the times we live in. We need God. There's so many people that need to find God that we need to pray for. They need to find the Lord. But anyway, seeing Jesus for who he is, and sometimes we see God in so many different ways. We put books and we have our mindset of what God should be or who he isn't, and sometimes that can be scary and it can be messed up. But we want to share a little bit. I want to share with you a little bit about who God is. And we'll never know who he really is till we get to heaven. But we can experience more of him while we're here. Amen? We can experience him. So let's go to the first. We're going to read a story. I didn't put it on your thing because it would have been a Sears and Roebuck catalog. So we'll read it on the overhead. Luke chapter 24. It begins a story when Jesus rose from the dead and what happened after that in the next week or so or 2 weeks or days. But let's look at this. It says, leaving the tomb, they went to break the news to the 11 and to all the others of what they had seen and heard. When the disciples heard the testimony of the women, it made no sense, and they were unable to believe what they heard. Now, listen to this. Jesus had talked about this over and over, that he would have to be beaten, he would have to suffer, and he would have to die, and he would have to rise from the grave. And they didn't. They're not getting it. So let's look at this. But Peter jumped up, ran the entire distance to the tomb to see for himself. Stooping down, he looked inside, discovered it was empty. There was only the linen sheet lying there. Staggered by this, he walked away wondering what it meant. Now, when we were in Israel, Ken and Lois and a bunch of us that went, we went to the tomb, which is the original tomb. Now, other people have an idea that it's in some other church, whatever, but the tomb is where it is because it was in a garden, and it was close to the where Jesus was crucified, the skull. And so anyway, we'd go in that tomb. People can go into the tomb and see where Jesus was laying and where he was buried in the sepulcher. So anyway, Peter walks away wondering what it meant. Later that Sunday, two of Jesus' disciples were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, a journey of about 7 miles. They were in the midst of a discussion about all the events of the last few days when Jesus walked up and accompanied them in their journey. They were unaware that it was Jesus walking alongside them, for God prevented them from recognizing him. Jesus said to them, "You seem to be in a deep discussion about something. What are you talking about? So sad and gloomy." They stopped, and the one named Cleopas answered, "Haven't you heard? Are you the only one in Jerusalem unaware of the things that have happened over the last few days?" Jesus asked, "What things?" "The things about Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they replied. "He was a mighty prophet of God who performed miracles and wonders. His words were powerful, and he had great favor with God and people. But 3 days ago, the high priest and the rulers of the people sentenced him to death and had crucified him. We all hoped," now you notice that, "we all hoped that he was the one that would redeem and rescue Israel." "Early this morning, some of the women informed us of something amazing. They said they went to the tomb and found it empty. They claimed two angels appeared and told them that Jesus is now alive. Some of us went to see for ourselves and found the tomb exactly like the women said, but no one has seen him." Jesus said to them, "Why are you so thick-headed? Why do you find it so hard to believe every word the prophets have spoken? Wasn't it necessary for Christ the Messiah to experience all these sufferings and then afterward to enter into his glory?" Then he carefully unveiled to them the revelation of himself through the scripture. I want you to see something there. Unveiled to them the revelation of himself throughout the scripture. He started from the beginning, explained the writings of Moses and all the prophets, showing how they wrote of him and revealed the truth about him. As they approached the village, Jesus walked on ahead, telling the men he was going to a distant place. They urged him to remain there and pleaded, "Stay with us. It will be dark soon." So Jesus went with them into the village. Joining them at the table for supper, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and then gave it to them. All at once, their eyes were opened and they realized it was Jesus. Then suddenly in a flash, Jesus vanished from before their eyes. Stunned, the men looked at each other and said, "Why didn't we recognize it was him?" Didn't our hearts burn with the flames of holy passion while we walked beside him? He unveiled for us such profound revelation from the scriptures. They left at once and hurried back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples. When they found the 11 and the other disciples all together, they overheard them saying, "It's really true. The Lord has risen from the dead. He even appeared to Peter." Then the two disciples told the others what had happened to them on the road to Emmaus and how Jesus had unveiled himself as he broke bread with them. Wow, what a powerful story. See, what we're seeing here, people, is that we get an insight into the feelings of the disciples before the resurrected Christ. The death of their master was a real hard blow to them. Even no matter how much he told them, it was so hard for them to believe. Having his resurrection had been prophesied, they did not even grasp the truth that the Messiah had to suffer and then he had to rise from the dead. So influenced were they with the Jewish idea. See, the Jews believed that Jesus was the Messiah, is going to come back. He's going to get rid of all those, the Romans and everybody else. He's going to take back this Jerusalem and take back this and be king again. That's what they believe. Well, it will happen one day when Jesus comes on the second coming. When he touches down in the Mount of Olives in Israel, Jesus will set up his kingdom, yes. But that wasn't the kingdom back then that he was looking at. God has a heavenly kingdom. And his kingdom will be brought down from heaven to earth. So, in the Old Testament, he began to unveil it to the two people, disciples that were walking with him. And it says that the two disciples' hearts burned within them when Jesus had concealed his identity. And all of a sudden they realized when he broke bread it was him. So look at Luke 24:30. It says, "And it came to pass that he sat at meat with them. He took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight." You know, when I think about this, when Revelation, when Jesus was knocking at the door, people, you notice that the doorknob was in the picture was inside the house. It wasn't on the outside. Jesus, people say, well, Jesus is knocking at people's doors to come in for salvation, to come into their lives and be born again. That's not what that was talking about. No, that's what he wants to do. He's knocking at people's hearts. But that had to do with fellowship. He said he wanted to come in and sup with them and fellowship with them. They didn't even recognize him until he broke bread like he did on the last night, broke bread with them. And then they realized who he was. They had a revelation of who he was. Their eyes were open. Now, I want you to see something here. They broke bread and gave it to him. Their eyes were open and they knew him. Everybody say they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. I want you to write your first point down this morning, people. We need to have an understanding and a revelation of who Jesus is. Now, think about this. Do we really understand who Jesus is? Now, we know that Jesus came into our hearts. We're born again. Sometimes we don't understand the whole ramification of that, about atonement or sanctification, regeneration, being born again, propitiation, and all these justification, all these things that have to do with our salvation. But we knew it happened because we invited him to come in our heart. We did it by faith. We took it by faith, okay? But when we look at this, sometimes we look through the eyes of the world. We look through the eyes of people, of who we think Jesus really is. And we need an understanding and a revelation who Jesus really is. Not the way we perceive him, but the way that he is perceived as the Son of God. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. So, Jesus opened their eyes to see him for who he really was. Before this, people looked at Jesus as a teacher, as just a teacher, or as a prophet, or he's a rabbi, but not the Son of God. In essence, Christ was hidden from them in plain sight. But after their eyes were open, they were illuminated by the truth of his heavenly identity of who he really is. If you and I could really get a glimpse of who Jesus really is, a revelation. Do you know that when we get to heaven, get this, when we get to heaven, that God will for eternity unfold a little more and a little more of who he is. Our minds can't comprehend that. Every day, God will reveal a little bit more of himself, a little bit more of him for all eternity because he's God. We down here are so finite that we can only see through a glass darkly. We don't see everything. But when we get to heaven, we'll begin to see more and more. But it doesn't mean that we can't know Jesus and experience him. Now, when you look up the word open, it comes from a Greek word that means dianoigo, and it means to open one's soul, to open your emotions, to open your mind, to open up your heart, to arouse to understanding. God not only opened their eyes, but he gave them a revelation and an understanding of who he was. He was no longer the teacher, the rabbi, the prophet. He was the Son of God. He was the Son of God. And after this experience, Jesus vanished from their sight, but the revelation of who he was remained. It will never change. When you and I had Jesus come into our hearts, we were never the same. I know I wasn't. I bawled like a blubbering baby when I found Christ. When Christ came in, it felt like all the junk and garbage just fell off of my life and I was free. The night that crusade that Dave Wilkerson spoke. And I left that place totally free. And I'm still here today. Why? Because I had a revelation, at least a part of a revelation, who Jesus was. I had heard about Jesus. People had told me about Jesus. He was a man that died on the cross. You know, a man that rose again, I went through all the religious formulas and rituals and everything, but I never knew Jesus until he manifested himself in my life. That was a revelation that you and I got when we were born again. How much more can we have a revelation who he really is? It's amazing. It's amazing. So, when he disappeared, they knew exactly who and where he was. Even if he was gone, that revelation stayed. In that moment, the disciples received supernatural understanding. Supernatural understanding. The more we have intimate fellowship with the Lord, the more he unveils people of himself and who he really is. When we get into his presence, do we want to know God? Do we want to know him? There's a price that we pay to know God. There is. There was a price you paid when you gave your life to the Lord. Your friends didn't like you too much after that. I know mine didn't care too much about me. So I had to get new friends. I'd get them saved. But God keeps revealing himself from glory to glory to glory when we get into his presence or in fellowship with him. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But the thing is, these guys got our understanding them. The more we dig into the scriptures, the more revelation we have of our Lord and Savior revealed through the Holy Spirit. Listen, he will lead and guide us into all truth. Jesus is the truth. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the Son of God. Luke 24:45 says, then he thoroughly opened their minds to understand. In another scripture, he opened their minds. The enemy has blinded the minds of the people to believe a lie. God, people are telling that God hates them, God's mad at them, God is judging them, God is judging the earth. God is not judging the earth. We are in the dispensation of grace and mercy. If God was going to judge the earth, he'd have to judge every city, every community, the same way he judges everything else. Otherwise, he'd be a respecter of persons because there's sinners in every place. Amen? But we are living in the dispensation. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn. I came to save the lost. They that are whole don't need a physician, but they that are sick need a physician. Jesus said, I came to give life and life more abundant. He didn't come to take life. You got people out there say, well, the hurricanes, God's judging the people. You know, the hurricanes in himself are a judgment in himself because of the recompense of reward of people. It's the rain falls on the just as well as the unjust. Jesus said these things are going to happen in the last days. But God is not in the killing business. He's in the redemption business. His goal is to bring people to him. Even if it has to, even through the tragedies, these things are allowed in the world. Jesus said they were going to come. Tribulation will come in the world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He wasn't talking just about spiritual, but he's talking about physical. And so sometimes I'll get people call me on the phone and say, well, that's a judgment of God in Houston, a judgment of God in Florida, and judgment here and here and there. And I'll say, no, it's not. It's not a judgment. These things are allowed. The Bible says in James, don't give place to the devil. It can happen anywhere. The devil's a liar. He's a deceiver. The Bible says the devil has come to kill, to steal, and destroy. If you want to blame somebody, blame him. But don't blame God. God's whole purpose and goal is that people will come to the repentance. You know what the scripture says? It's the kindness of God. The kindness of God that leads people to repentance. How do you think those people got saved through tragedy? It was the kindness of God to the people loving on them that brought them to salvation. That's God's business. All right, I'm done with my message. That was a commercial break, okay? But it irritates me, but yet it doesn't move me. We serve an awesome God, a loving God, a God that cares about you and I. He cares about the sinner, the worst of sinners. He cares about prisoners in prison. He cares about Al-Qaeda. He cares about the Afghans and all the other people around the world. He loves them. He died for them, and he cares for them. His whole purpose is to redeem mankind to himself. There is a day of judgment coming. Oh, yes, it is. But if you read Romans 1, it says that they earned the recompense of their reward through homosexuality and all these different sins. I'm not just naming one, but all the different sins. If you read Romans chapter 1, it says that their sins, it was a recompense of reward through AIDS and disease and all this. God didn't do this. We did it. Mankind did it. But God came to redeem us to set us free and to deliver us. That's his hope and his calling. Judgment is coming one day. He will no longer come as the lamb, but he's coming as the lion. He's coming as the lion. That's why God is wooing his people to fellowship, to have a revelation of who he is. That's the warp revelation that the enemy has brought to people, that God's a killer. And I've heard people say, well, if that's God, I don't want nothing to do with God. Well, I'm sorry, you've been deceived and lied to because that's not my God. That's not my God. Many of us need a similar revelation of who Jesus really is. The spiritual sight that we have, people, has to go way beyond our religious experiences to a deeper and more profound revelation of who Jesus is. God desires to open our eyes in a spiritual realm so that we'll be able to understand and comprehend the will and the purpose of God. What is God's will and purpose? Is God's will and purpose to hurt me? Is God's will and purpose to just crush out every homosexual, every perverted person, is that his job? No. His job is to redeem them because of his love, his mercy, and his grace. That's his job. That's the job of the church, is to go out and tell people, God's not mad anymore. He sent his son Jesus to take away the anger or the wrath of God. But because of Jesus, God has accepted us in the beloved. He has accepted us and loved us because of his son Jesus, what he did for mankind. So the will and the purpose of God is what we're seeing here, people. Look at Ephesians 1:17. As I begin to read this, we've read this so many times, but I got a revelation of this again that I've never had. It says, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom. People, what is wisdom? Wisdom is applied knowledge. You can know something, you can know a lot, but if you don't know how to use what you know, it doesn't do any good. So wisdom is taking applied knowledge and using it, okay? But it says that God, here's what he says. May the Father of glory, that he may grant you the spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation. Now watch this. Of insight into the mysteries and the secrets. The devil's been so busy lying to people that we need a revelation of the real God, the real Messiah. It says, in the deep and intimate knowledge of God. I don't know about you, but I want a more deep and intimate knowledge of him. A revelation. Not only knowing about God. See, the world knows about God and they got whipped ideas of who God is. But knowing him as the Son of God, for what he did, as the redeeming Christ, as the healer, the deliverer, knowing him for who he is. But it says the deep, intimate knowledge, so that you can know the deep, intimate knowledge of him. God, unveil from our eyes that we can know Christ deeper than we know him. Look at verse 18. By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and what? Understand. So that you can know and understand what? The hope. Everybody say hope. To which he has called you. God wants you not only to understand that you're saved, but he wants you to understand who he is. And by understanding who he really is, you can tell people who God really is. I've had people come to me and say, well, God, why is God doing all this? Why is this, and then God? And I said, that's not my God. What are you talking about? I said, my God is a God of love, mercy, grace, and compassion. At this time, there's a dispensation of grace. He sent his only son to die for you and me through our mess ups. If that's a bad God, then there's no other way that we could ever love him unless we know what he really did for us. And when we see this and we understand this, it changes our thinking. He said, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you. God wants you to get a revelation of why we're saved, who he really is, what he really did, who you really are in him, how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints has set apart once. Do you know that you're a king's kid? Do you know you're a king, priest, prophet? Well, I don't feel like one. Well, who does? How many wake up Monday morning and feel like a king, priest, or prophet? How many wake up any morning and feel like a king, priest, or prophet? None of us do. But if it was based on feelings, we'd feel like that all the time. But it's based on revelation of truth of who you are in God. Amen? You're not just some person, just some person that God decided, well, I'll just save your ugly soul. Well, I suppose I'll do it for you. You're really messed up. No, it was his joy that the cross was set before me. It was his joy to do it for you and I, because the joy was in his heart that he would have fellowship with us, that we would be his brothers and his sisters, that we would be living with him for eternity and spend eternity with him. That was the joy set before him. That's why he endured the cross for you and I. Because, see, his hope wasn't in the pain. His hope was in the redemption. The Passion says, I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, your innermost being. Golly, some of the thoughts that we have about God and the world we live in is amazing. God's word is his truth. I don't understand a lot of things, but I do understand that God's word is truth. Your innermost being flooding you with light until you experience the full what? Full revelation of our great hope and glory. See, God wants you to know who he really is. If we would understand and know who God really is besides just being Savior, besides just being Lord, it would change our life. We'd never be the same people. We'd look at people in a different way. We'd look at ourselves in a different way. But it says this, the glory. We know that this is the reason he called you to himself. And I pray that you explore and experience for yourselves all the riches of this wealth. What wealth? Everything about God and who God is. It has been freely given to all his holy ones, for you are a true inheritance. That alone is the scriptures that you should read every day and say, Lord, this is me. Amen? The devil has lied so much to me to believe a lie that he wants you to make you feel like you're worthless, that you'll never amount to anything, you'll never do it right, you can never make it because you're just, you know, existing on this earth. Oh, that's not what Ephesians says. God says, if you could get a revelation how much I love you, how much I care for you, how much compassion I have for you, how much mercy I've got for you. And my mercies are new every morning, the Bible says. Every morning his mercies are new. Say, well, God's not mad at me today. God's never been mad at you. He likes you. Honey, God even likes me. I know. Did you get a revelation of that? Yeah. God likes us. And he wants us to get that revelation. Amen? Now listen, what would happen if our loved ones received a revelation of the risen Christ? That he alone can forgive our sins and bring eternal life. What would happen if he did? It changed their life like it changed mine. When I heard about God's love, it wasn't long for me to say, yes, Lord. Now, if somebody was preaching hellfire and brimstone, it may get my attention that I'm going to hell. Yeah, I mean, how many know what I'm talking about? It might even get some people saved, but it won't keep them there. It's the love of God that keeps us. Knowing and having a revelation how much God cares and how much God loves me. Do you know that every day the devil just beats on us? Tell us that we just don't match up. Well, yeah, in a sense, in the flesh realm, I don't match up. But in the spirit realm, thank you, Lord. Oh, this is just neat right here. Once we and the people we love open our eyes to the truth of the risen Christ, who he really is, people, get this, we will experience the supernatural power of God in our lives. Look at Philippians 3:10. This is powerful. For my determined purpose is, Paul says, you know what my main goal is? It's not to watch football, which is good. I enjoyed watching it. Yeah, college was even better when the Spartans did a good job against Iowa. Paul said, my purpose isn't this, this, and this, and this, but my purpose is this, that I may know him. The word know means that I can experience him. I can have an intimacy with him. That I can understand him. That I can have a revelation of how much God loves me. That I may know him. Now get this. That I may progressively, every day, become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his what? That'd be like Keith, Jesus coming up and sitting on your lap and going, Keith, I just want to tell you how much I love you. And he does. I mean, God wants to show you the wonders of his person, of who he really is. Not what the world has type-shadowed him as, but as he really is. Paul said, I want to understand his person. Get this, more strongly and more clearly. But you know why? Because we have a tainted view of God. Isn't that the truth? The world has a tainted view of God. I mean, there's even preachers out there saying, you know what? Houston deserved what they got with all that. Really? God's judging them. Oh, really? And what town do you live in that's perfect and nobody has sinned? Do you think God just skipped over your town? That's not what it's about. God help us that we will know you more strongly and clearly. That I may, now get this. Paul says, that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection which exerts over believers. God, let me know how powerful you really are. There isn't a thing that God can't do for you. That's too hard for him that he can't do. Look at Ephesians 3:19. That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the anger of Christ. A love. Isn't that amazing? Now, Paul's not painting a picture of Jesus that he's a killer. He's out there just to hurt you. He's out there to punish you when you do wrong. He's out there just to make your life miserable. That's not the intimacy that Paul has with the Messiah. That you may really come to know practically through the experience yourself. You can experience and know God. The love of Christ, which far surpasses any of our knowledge, without experience. Until you really experience God, you don't know Him. Really. We all had an experience with God when Jesus said, came into our life. We were never the same. I was never the same. God changed it up. He did something. I want to show you something. Let's go to the second one. Write this down. It really goes into this, and I've never seen this before, that there's two things to look at here. We need an understanding of who we really are and seeing Jesus in others for who they really are. Now, when we read the scriptures before, you notice how everybody knew Jesus as prophet, as rabbi, as teacher, but they didn't experience him as the Son of God until he rose from the dead. Then they understood the power of the resurrection because he's not in the grave. Then they understand that everything that Jesus spoke about through Moses all the way to the end was truth. Now get this. 2 Corinthians. Consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one. I like this. No one from a purely human point of view. In terms of natural standards and value. Let me say this. We don't value each other enough. God help us. God help me. We don't value each other enough and esteem each other highly enough in the body of Christ. You know, and you're going to see something what Paul is saying here. Paul understood who Jesus was from a certain point of view until he experienced him and had a revelation of him. We estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view in terms of natural standards value. No, even though we once did, everybody say once did, estimate Christ from a human viewpoint as a man. He ate with them. He walked with them. He got dirty like anybody else. He had to clean up like anybody else. He was a man, but he also was God. But he left all that splendor in heaven to become a man like you and I, so he could understand exactly how you feel and change that. Now get this. We once did estimate Christ from a human viewpoint as a man, yet now, we have such knowledge of him that we know him no longer in terms of the flesh. Ah. Now, this amazes me. Why would you put verse 17 right after that? You know why? Because we're not the same anymore. Why do we look at each other like we're some rotten, no good, lousy sinner? Come on, let's look at this. Therefore, he's going about whatever you see therefore, you know therefore. The verses before it. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ the Messiah, he is a new what? A new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the flesh and the new has come. Why do we always look at each other after our mistakes? Why do we always judge each other because of what we do or don't do? Why do we look at each other after the flesh instead of after the spirit? Let's look at this. The Passion says, so then, from now on, we have a new perspective that refuses to evaluate people merely by their outward appearance. It's amazing how we judge people by their outward appearance. We'll already make a total view of what we think they are. And then you find out that they're the totally opposite of that. Huh. Well, that person can't be very good because look at them. See, God looks at the heart. We look at the exterior. So then from now on, the passage says we have a new perspective that refuses to evaluate people merely on their outward appearances. For that's how we once viewed the anointed one, Jesus. But no longer do we see him with limited human insight. Now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become entirely a new creation. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. See, this would include our old identity people, our life of sin, the power of Satan, the religious works of trying to please God, our old relationship with the world, and our old mindsets. We are not improved or simply refurbished. The Bible says we are completely made new by our union with Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We need to have a revelation and an understanding for who Jesus is and all that he has done through the new creation in us. We need to pray that God will open up our spiritual eyes to see the reality of Jesus in our lives, in the lives of other people. How many times we've been guilty of judging others that either have failed us, hurt us, when we should be looking at the heart, way beyond. You know, the Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. That's why my wife loves me so much. Because her love covers a multitude of sins. There's nobody that knows me like her. We'll be sitting in the car. She goes, I was thinking the same thing. Yeah, me too. We have that with our own husband and wife and our families, but why don't we do it with other people? Love covers a multitude of sins. It looks way beyond that, and it sees Jesus in us, the hope of glory. I've had to repent and tell the Lord how sorry I am by the outward appearance. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm looking way beyond that. Help me to look way, way beyond that to see what you see. There's good in every person. There's good in every person. Help me to see the good in the people that don't even know God by honoring them who Christ wants them to be. Paul even talked about honoring those outside the house other than Christians, showing where honor's due. Sometimes we judge people by experience instead of seeing the true heart, the way Jesus sees their heart, giving them honor the same way we should honor Jesus, the same way. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. But much rather the members of the body seeming to be weaker are necessary. There isn't a person in the body of Christ that is not important, from the high to the low. Have you ever had anybody tell you never amount to nothing? Look at you. God never thought that about you. Verse 23, and those of the body we think to be less honorable, to these we put more abundant honor around them. That means we go overboard to bless those that the world looks at and says, I wouldn't even waste my time. Huh. Be surprised how people change with a little love. Romans 12, 2. I'm going to be closing here. Love each other in the way that makes you feel close to brothers and sisters. And give each other more honor than you give yourself. The Passion says this: try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor of one another. How would the church look if we would do that? There's so many fractions in the church. There's so many splits and so many things happening that we've missed the whole point of the revelation that God wants us to understand of who He is in the body of Christ. Yes, we fail. We mess up. We make mistakes. But that doesn't mean we have to stay there. That means we need to rise up and move and get a revelation of who He really is. Change me from glory to glory, Lord. Change my heart. Quit letting me blame everybody else and have the victim mentality, and help me to stand up and realize how much You love people. God, let them see Jesus in my life. We need to declare and pray for one another, listen, and for our loved ones, that they will be illuminated by God's truth and transformed by the power of His love. I asked the Lord this when I was studying this. I said, Lord, you created a brand new spirit. It's not refurbished. It's brand new. Our spirit is new. Total different creation. When you stand before God, it's like you're a total brand new person. And I said, then why didn't you do that for the mind? Nobody ever wondered that. The Bible says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's not talking about your spiritual walk. It's talking about your physical walk. You know what God told me? Greatest revelation I see, we're talking about revelation. He said, if I'd have made your mind brand new, then you would have never had the choice and the will to serve me from choice. Ooh. That's what God told me. He said, I did it that way, so you have to renew your mind by the Word of God and be transformed. So it's a choice that I want to serve God, not because I have to, but out of obedience, because I want to, because of His love for me. Does that make sense? I smiled and said, hey, cool. Said, I got a lot of work to do, Lord. A lot of work to do. We need to declare and pray, people, that we will walk in supernatural understanding and enlightenment in every area of our lives. We need to begin to pray for our loved ones that all spiritual blindness, darkness, listen, and confusion will leave their life right now in Jesus' name. Right now. Bind up and loose Satan off of their lives, who has blinded their hearts and minds from receiving and understanding a revelation of who Jesus really is. You know what the world thinks Jesus is? That God's mad at them, that God doesn't like them, that God is killing, that God is destroying, God is doing all these bad things, God is doing all this stuff. That's their concept and revelation of Jesus. And Christians have that. That's why we're supposed to renew our minds and be transformed and changed by the Word of God. Psalms 119, 105 says, Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Listen, people. The more we get into the Word of God, the more knowledge and with understanding and revelation we get, the more it will enlighten our decisions, our thinking, our families, and even our finances. Wow. Every area in our life can be blessed because of the light of His Word shining in and through our lives, giving us revelation of who He is. Our future and our destiny are brighter because of His truth, of who He is. We, as God's people, cannot afford to yield to deception, falsehood, wickedness in any areas of our lives. We can't afford that. Jesus has to be the Lord of our lives. He's got to be Lord. He's not just my Savior. He didn't just save me. He has to be Lord. He has to be the one that calls the shots in my life. But He can't call the shots if I don't let Him. Amen? We have to follow Him and be His disciple. We need to see Jesus the way the Word of God reveals Him. Our mind, our understanding has to be opened, and our soul needs to be aroused to the revelation of who Jesus is. That's what God wants to do this morning, people, and challenge our spirits to to be all they can be in Jesus. Keith, you have another song? Go for it. Thank you. Does that mean that I know God like I should? No. There isn't a person on the planet that knows God the way we can keep knowing him. Because revelation will keep unfolding, keep unfolding, keep unfolding. But I'm going to say this, you know God more now than you did years ago. Amen? God has revealed himself to you and I now more than he did years ago. We had some warped ideas of God maybe years ago, but now we understand. You notice how I said we understand. We have a revelation of more and more who Jesus is. As we worship the Lord, people, in this last song, this is who Jesus is right here. All that and everything more. That's the revelation the world needs. They need the revelation who the Son of God is, what the Son of God has done, what the Son of God wants to do, and what he will continue to do in the lives of the people around us, in our families, our loved ones, to the people down the street, to people on our job. That's the revelation they need. That's the revelation we need to give them. But if I don't have a clear revelation of who Jesus is, how am I going to give it to them? This morning, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will show you, reveal to you who he really is in an intimate way. But not only that, that you will draw to him and say, Jesus, show me who you really are. You know, I prayed that. Every day I pray that. Lord, show me who you really are because I need more. Amen? The world's saying this. The world's saying this. I don't believe it because your word says this. But I want to experience this. I don't want to just read it, but I want to experience it every day of who you are. And I'll tell you what, if we do that, oh, God will show up. Let's just worship the Lord.
You can have it all, every part of my world. Take this life and breathe on. This heart that is now yours, you can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world, take this life and breathe on. This heart that is now yours. Oh, the joy I found surrendering my crowns at the feet of a king.
No greater call, people.
There is no greater call than giving you my all. I lay it all down. I lay it all down. There is no greater love, no higher name above. I lay it all down. I lay it all. There is no greater call than giving you my all. I lay it all down. I lay it all down. There is no greater love, no higher name above. I lay it all down. I lay it all.
It all belongs to you, Jesus. It was purchased with a price on Calvary, Lord.
You can have it all. Every part of my world, take this life and breathe on this heart that is yours.
Thank you, Lord.
You can have it all, Lord. Every
you know, that song is so appropriate, Keith, Dolly, Joe, what we're doing right here, because it's talking about surrender. That's the hardest part to do, isn't it? For all of us, even me, sometimes it's hard to surrender those things that we think are going to protect us. Because God knows better of what to do when we surrender those things. Sometimes, no matter how painful it is, we surrender to the Lord and say, Lord, you know best because you're God and I'm not. Surrender. It's just surrendering. Having a revelation, understanding who he is. Lord, because of who you are, I surrender this. I lay it down. I just give it to you because I can't carry the load anymore. Beginning to see people through the eyes of Jesus instead of their failures and their mistakes. Lord, help us to be like that. I used to see people, other ministers, look at a different light and go, you know. And I said, Lord, I don't want to be like that, but let me see them the way you see them. Because everyone has something good to offer in the kingdom. Every person. that's born again to Jesus. I can look at the people that have hurt me in the past, or I've hurt them, or I can see beyond that and say, Lord, you're doing the work. I want to see through your eyes the way you see them. And that's why when I had found out Pastor Kirk was in there, I got a hold of him, talked to him in a text, and I laid everything out, gave my heart out, shared some things. I said, please forgive me if I in any way have ever. I got the greatest text back. He said this. He said, when you're laying here, you look at life from a different perspective. You view things different. And he said, I had to think about how to respond to your text all day. It was. I just loved on him. Just loved him. Said, we're praying. I love you. And I just pray for you. And he sent me this. He said, if I have in any way, I am so sorry. Forgive me. And I texted him back and I said, guess what, Pastor Kirk? All is forgiven all the way around. I said, I want us to get together sometime and just spend that time in prayer. He said, I'd love that. That was good for me. And it was good for him. And it's good for people. It's good for them. It's good for them. It's good for us. Why? Because that's Jesus. That's the revelation that we need to get. Lord, the revelation we need is who you are. How much you are compassionate and forgiving and loving to us. When we have screwed up. Amen? Father, this morning we thank you so much that we have the opportunity to be together. Father, we thank you for the revelation. We thank you for the understanding by your Spirit of who you really are. Father, help us to surrender those things that we hold on to that we think are a protection for us when we need to let them go and let them be a healing for us. Lord, give us a revelation of your love and your compassion and your mercy, and let us see through your eyes the way that you see us and the way that you see others. God, help us never to be judgmental, critical of the outward appearance when you look at the heart the same way you've looked at my heart. Father, this morning I thank you for the revelation and the understanding of all that you did for us on the cross of Calvary. What a price paid, Lord, for the redemption of mankind. Help us, Lord, to give that to somebody else, which you've already gave to us. Fathers, we leave this place today. May we be challenged by your Spirit to be more and more like you. Lord, thank you for your kindness when we've been unkind. Thank you for your mercy when we've been unmerciful. Thank you, Lord, for your love when we've been unloving. Thank you for your compassion when we've felt no compassion. Thank you for that revelation. And so, Lord, we leave this place today with a more understanding of how much you care and love us. We give you thanks, we give you praise, and we give you honor for all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Give the Lord praise. Come on. Father, thank you. Amen.